Chapter 1. Science 10 is chaos. Josh's hamster had babies. It's Ms. Toppett's classroom hamster, but Josh comes in at lunch to clean the cage. He takes the hamster home on weekends and holidays. It may as well be Josh's hamster. It's weird the way Josh bonds with that hamster, but it's just one of many things that mark Josh as weird. For example, he always wears a blue shirt, the kind with buttons and a pocket. Always. He must have 4 or 5 blue shirts with buttons and a pocket. No one wears blue shirts like that. Even if they wanted to, they wouldn't, because Josh always wears one. A blue shirt, jeans and boots. Josh always wears boots. The hamster is an experiment. The hamster's coat is an unusual rusty red color, a genetic variation, Ms. Toppett calls it. She bred the hamster with a normal amber-colored hamster to see if the young would have the darker color. We haven't seen the babies yet. Ms. Toppett says it's too soon to disturb the nest. Right now, Ms. Toppett is out of the classroom photocopying handouts. Before she left the room, Ms. Toppett gave us direct orders to stay in our seats. But no one listened. Now, packed around the hamster cage, Science 10 wants to see the baby hamsters. Josh stands with his hands jammed in his pockets, shifting his weight from one foot to the other. Josh outweighs me, and I'm no lightweight. The idiots of Science 10 like to oink when Josh walks past. Hilarious. With one large index finger, Josh shoves his glasses back up onto his nose. He says, "We have to be quiet." A girl, Natalie, pushes me to get to the table with the hamster cage. I let her pass. Everyone lets her pass. Natalie has that kind of power. She whines, "I can't see the babies." I can't either. The mother hamster has them hidden in a cotton ball nest. Natalie wraps the metal cage with her fingernail. To Josh, she says, "Make them come out." Josh shakes his head. The mother needs quiet. It's her first litter. I watch Josh's face. When he stutters, it means he's stressed. When Josh gets stressed, he gets quiet. It reminds me of a storm, all the energy swirling in on itself. Once in a while, Josh loses it, but it's amazing what he puts up with. The idiots of Science 10 have made this term a living hell for Josh. Some of what they do is funny. I admit it, I've had a good laugh in this class, like the time they told Josh before class that Ms. Toppett was giving bonus marks that day for volunteers. So when Ms. Toppett asked for volunteers, Josh stabbed his hand in the air to be picked. And he was. Josh ended up rolling a condom on a banana. His face went so red, even his eyes filled with blood. Later, I could make him laugh about it too. Now Natalie directs her gaze to the king of the idiots of Science 10, Chase. Chase is all talk, all the time. If there's one good thing about the way he targets Josh, it's that he leaves me alone. Chase slithers in front of Josh. He only comes up to Josh's chin, but Josh steps back. Chase says, "Who made you the freaking hamster expert? We just want to see them." He leans down to look right into the cage and slaps his hand on the desk. "Come on, Mama, come on out." Josh has bright red spots on his cheeks. "You're scaring her." Chase tilts the cage and lets it drop down on the desk. To Josh he says, "You're scaring it with your buggy eyes. I just want them to come out of the nest." Josh blinks. I see him take a deep breath. Then he says, "They can't come out. They don't have their eyes open yet." Natalie squeals, "Their eyes are still shut. I want to see." She fumbles with the door in the top of the cage. "No." Josh swats her hand from the cage. "Ow." Natalie holds her hands up to her chin. She says to Chase, "He hit me, the loser." I glance toward the door. Where is Ms. Toppett? Chase pushes Josh aside. To Natalie, he says, "Don't bother reaching through the door. Just take the top off the cage. Chase releases the latches holding the cage to the tray and yanks off the cage top. Bits of cedar chips fly out onto the desk. Josh gapes. The nest lies exposed in front of us. It is a mass of white cotton balls spun into one fluff pile. Bits of cedar and chewed toilet paper roll weave among the cotton. It amazes me how the hamster can build this house, snug, warm, quiet. Now, not so much. Chase pries the top from the cotton ball nest. Natalie shoves in front of Chase and squeaks, "There they are!" From where I'm standing, I can just see Josh's hamster coiled around four or five hairless pink babies. The mother hamster looks up at us with brown bead eyes. It scrambles to its feet. The babies wriggle in the sudden absence of their mother. Natalie wrinkles her nose. "They're all naked!" Chase prods one of the babies with his finger. The mother hamster lunges at him. "Whoa!" Chase yanks his hand back. "She's vicious!" He holds up his finger as if he's amazed he still has it. "She would have bitten it right off." Josh folds his arms over the tray. "We're scaring her. We have to leave her alone." Miss Toppett enters the classroom. In a thundering voice, she commands, "Students, take your seats." Most people return to their desks. Josh sets the cotton nest back over the babies and replaces the cage top. Miss Toppett levels her glare at Josh. "That means you too, Josh." Josh doesn't seem to hear the teacher. He's staring at the cage. His eyes get wide. Another student gets up and peers into the cage. He says, "Ew, she's eating one." That's it. Everyone crowds around the cage. Josh puts his hands on his face and shakes his head. "No, leave her alone. She's just moving them." The mother hamster has carried one of the babies into a corner of the cage. Ms. Toppett pushes through the crowd of students. If the mother feels threatened, she may try to move the nest. Ms. Toppett scans our faces. Chase looks down. Natalie bats her eyes as if she doesn't know anything. The mother hamster burrows into the nest and pulls out another of her young. She holds the baby in her mouth, her cheeks stretching around the wriggling pink mass. I wait for her to drop the baby with the other one. One time last week, Josh fed his hamster peanuts, one by one, and she packed them into her cheeks. She crammed 10 peanuts in her cheeks. Now she holds the baby the same way, her cheeks stretched so big that her eyes are slits. Then her eyes close and she tosses back her head. Ms. Toppett groans. "Oh, no!" There is a collective gasp from the classroom. Ms. Toppett's voice is shrill. "Back to your seats, everyone, now!" We ignore her. The mother hamster takes the baby from the corner of the cage. Josh starts to cry. Half the class stands in stunned silence. The other half makes gagging noises. The mother hamster heads into the nest. Ms. Toppett grabs a jacket from the back of someone's chair and covers the cage. It's one of the idiot's jackets, apparently. He says, "Hey, you'll get it dirty," and makes a move to retrieve the jacket. Ms. Toppett clamps her hand over his wrist. "Leave it." With a scowl, he slumps into his seat. Josh's face streams with tears. He's sobbing without making a sound, his huge chest heaving. Ms. Toppett turns to the class. Her voice shakes. "Sometimes this happens in nature. Sometimes if conditions are harsh, like there isn't enough food." Josh looks up in disbelief. He stops crying. Ms. Toppett continues. "Or if the mother feels the litter isn't strong enough to survive." Josh interrupts. "The mother had enough food. The babies were strong." He jabs his hand at the class. "They scared her. They wouldn't leave her alone." Chase rolls his eyes. "This is a science class. The hamster is an experiment. Why did you have it in here if we weren't supposed to look?" He crosses his arms and leans back in his desk. "So we scared it. Big deal. We didn't mean to kill the babies." Josh goes totally still. He looks from one student to the next. When he gets to me, I have to look away. There's something different about Josh, and it's like I don't recognize him anymore. He looks at each and every one of us. Then, without a word, he leaves the classroom. After Josh leaves, Chase makes a mocking sound.
"Ooh, I'm so scared."
People laugh. Ms. Toppett goes to the front of the classroom and, with a sigh, distributes her handouts. When the stack comes to me, I take one and hand the rest over my shoulder. Then it occurs to me what was different about Josh. It wasn't that he looked different. It was that he didn't stutter.